exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So for this thing, Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, talking about the Lord here, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on and says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And I love this. I've been back to this passage many times in my Christian walk. But I love what he says here. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. How many of you tonight know something about weakness? Y'all help me. How many of you know tonight something about maybe some thorns or some difficulties in your flesh? How many of you know tonight that sometimes that if you'd be honest with yourself tonight, and I'd be honest with myself tonight, Brother Jake, many times we walk in the church house and we walk in with a smile on our face, or we see somebody with a smile on their face and not knowing what's behind that smile, knowing that there's probably some deep issues going on that if they'd get honest with themselves, they'd want God to remove. Now, I'm not talking about saying how many of you know that when you ask God to forgive you, thank God it's clean. Somebody say amen. But there are some difficulties and there are some burdens that we carry that, to be honest with you, there's some things even in my life now as a Christian. I've been saved since I was 21 years old, surrendered to preach about 5 years after that, and I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I thought, to be honest with you, this is my mindset of Christianity when I got saved, I would finally get to a point to where I'd never have any difficulties anymore. I'd get to a point to where I'd never struggle anymore. I'd get to a point to where my flesh wouldn't beat me up anymore. Was anybody that stupid? That's what I thought. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to church 3 times a week. I'm going to be around whatever. I'm going to go on visitation. I'm going to do the outward things because I know God's going to honor that. And I'm going to get to a place to where, praise God, when I get up, one day I'll never struggle. Do you realize I hadn't arrived at that time yet? Every single day there's something, Brother Shelton. Every single day there's something that Satan's trying to use against me, that I think that he's trying to use against me to keep me from living victorious in the Christian life. Now, I can tell you this, if you'd be honest with yourself tonight, there's probably an area in your life tonight that you brought in that nobody else knows that you would to God, that you've been begging God to take care of that and remove it out of your life because you don't like it. Y'all help me tonight. I know there's a handful of us tonight, but will you get real with me tonight? This is the same place Paul. I mean, in the previous chapter, he talks about all the things that he has suffered. He's talking about being shipwrecked. He's talking about being stoned. He's talking about being beaten. He's talking about all these things that he struggled through within the fact that he was doing ministry and these things come upon him. But you know what? What he's talking about now, that thorn in the flesh, is something different. There was a time he was stoned. He was drug outside the city, left for dead. And you know what happened? God got a hold of him and he went right back in there and preached the gospel again. Amen. He didn't have a problem with stones. But he had a problem with a thorn that was in his flesh that he begged God to remove. And God seemed like he wasn't fair to him. Are y'all with me? I want to preach on this subject tonight if I could. And I won't be long, I promise you, amen. Which y'all know how preachers lie about that. Y'all just go ahead and forgive me. But I want to preach on this thought tonight of living life with thorns. Living life with those things, to be honest with you, we're living in a generation now, and I mean, it's prevalent. I talk to people that I know struggle with depression constantly. I talk to people that struggle with an anxiety constantly. And I mean, it's not like they get up every day and they're saying, woohoo, I'm glad I got depression today. Woohoo! I'm glad I got anxiety today. I ain't met anybody. No, they're like, man, I wish to God somehow he would remove this from me. And it doesn't happen.
And man, people are living with some issues, and you and I have some things in our life that are displeasant in our life, but I sure am glad that we're going to find out that just like God's grace was sufficient for Paul, praise be to God, it's sufficient for you and I too. His grace is sufficient. But guess what? We may still have to live with the thorns. We see that Paul, he describes it. We're going to go through this, but I believe everyone, how many of you say, if you ain't ashamed, don't wave at me. Come on, you ain't ashamed. If you're ashamed tonight, we're going to wait till you wave. Huh? Wave at me. Wave at me again. You say, ain't I'm going to do this. Do both hands. Amen. You say, woo, glory to God, you saved me. You know, guess what? Every single one of us tonight that's saved by the grace of God, listen to me. Every one of us tonight, this is something that we can live, y'all. It's something that we can apply to our life that, praise God, we can live in victory even though we may have things we struggle with that we may never seem to get rid of, or maybe God may never get rid of for us. But thank God, I sure am glad we got a God tonight that's able to help us in the time of need. And I believe every one of us tonight can live a productive Christian life and keep on for the glory of God. Keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on living the gospel. Keep on being an example for the cause of Christ. Every one of us can live a productive Christian life in spite of the thorns that are left in our life by understanding some following truths found in this passage of Scripture. First thing I want you to notice is, right out of the gate, you'll see in verse number 7 is what I call the source of the thorn. The source of the thorn. He says in verse number 7, are y'all with me? Say amen. He says this, he said, Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The source of the thorn. I noticed a few things about this source. It was a source of burden to Paul. It was a source of burden. I don't know about y'all tonight, but if you've ever gotten a thorn in your flesh, a little small thorn, it's something that you're ready to get out. Amen. If you've been around the woods much and you get a thorn in you, or you're doing woodwork and you get a splinter in your hand, you're ready to pull that thing out. It's a constant what? It's a constant pain. It's a constant aggravation. It's a constant struggle. I mean, it's a constant reminder that there's something ain't right in the flesh that you want removed. And Paul, you know what? It was a source of burden to Paul. And this thorn, it wasn't just a splinter in his flesh. Man, this was something that he took and he was burdened over this thing. He was burdened so much that he asked the Lord to remove it 3 times. He begged God 3 times. He prayed that God would remove it because it was such a burden. Let me ask you something. You got something in your life that constantly you wake up with every single day that's just a burden to you? Paul was there. He said, this thing's a burden to me. And he said, man, it's a constant reminder that something's wrong. But the truth be known is that thing in our life that we're going to get to here in just a little bit, that thing in our life may be a constant burden in our life, but thank God that doesn't mean that God's mad at you. That doesn't mean that God's holding something against you. That just means you ain't seen the big picture yet. Praise God. God's grace is on its way to meet your need. But you know what? It may be a constant burden in your life. You say, did you come to encourage me tonight? I did, but let me encourage you with this thought. That thing you're begging God to remove, God may never remove it just so He can be God in your life. I wish I'd learned a long time ago. I'm be honest with you. Teresa, I'll tell you, when I get sick, I'm a baby. I don't like it. I'm serious. I mean, I can't. I don't like it. And I mean, it's almost like, I think back in November. What was it? Right before you got married? I think back before November, I already had the coronavirus. I got something, praise God. Seriously, I got something. I couldn't halfway breathe. I mean, it was a constant battle. I mean, I woke up one morning and I was like, God, help me not cough today. Because as soon as I coughed, man, I couldn't breathe. And I thought one time I have to get Teresa to take me to the emergency room. I thought I was going to die. Now listen to me. I'm ready to go meet Jesus, but praise God, I just don't want to die of suffocation. Somebody say amen. If He wants to take me on any other way, but I don't want to suffocate. Man, it was rough. I'm going to tell you something. Every single day, man, it was just a constant burden on me. And I thought, dear God, what's going on with me? And I took several rounds of antibiotics and all that kind of Z-Pack, Q-Pack, K-Pack, I don't know what all they are. But it was just a burden. And let me say this. And before long, guess what? I got over it. But the truth be known, it was still a burden. I don't know. There's going to be some things that I have in my life that I have asked God. That's been, how many of you are thankful that you have asked God to remove some things in your life and He did? Thank God for that. Amen. It might have been your mother-in-law. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you've asked God to remove some things. You know what He did? I remember God asking God to remove a filthy mouth, and He did. I remember God asking God to remove my life to where I could walk with Him and ask God to remove some of my old friends and give me some new friends that actually wanted to live for Jesus. And God did. What I'm saying is there's some things that God has answered for us. Amen. That, praise God, we're thankful for, we can rejoice in. But the truth is there's some things that God hadn't come through that we think we should quite yet. But at the same time, it may be a burden the rest of my life. But I want to tell you, even though it may be a burden, praise God, there's going to be one day, one good glad day, that thank God we ain't going to be burdened down with anything anymore. But the truth is, Paul knew that source, you know what? The source of his thorn was an actual burden to him. It's okay. Can I? How many of you feel, I want to come down there with you. I want you to listen to me tonight. It's okay to have something in your life that you want removed, that God ain't removing. It's okay to have it in your life even though you don't want it. Are y'all with me? Because you know what the devil does? The devil says, God ain't fair to you because He ain't removed it yet. He's being mean to you. He's being bad to you. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, we'll so be consumed with the thorn of that burden that, guess what? We get bitter at God. We get bitter at church. We get bitter at ministry because things are such a burden. That burden may not ever be removed. If it is, praise God, run around, take a light, praise God, in the house of God, say, glory to God, He removed it. But if He didn't remove it and He's still God in the middle of it, hey, clap your hands, run around the building and say, hey, God's still working in my life. But still, it's going to be a source of burden. It was a source of burden, but it was a source of battle. Bible says here in verse number 7, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, hey, it's one thing to have something you don't want, but it's another thing to have the devil beating you up every day over it. Are y'all with me? That word buffeting, or that has the idea of being bruised, or that has the idea of basically Paul being a punching bag of the devil. In other words, I mean, seriously, I don't know. I don't want to give the devil a lot of credit tonight because I don't like talking about him. I know there's some people that all the time want to talk about the devil. I don't do that. I don't give him credit. I don't want him hanging out at my house. Amen. I'd rather talk about the one that's already defeated him. Somebody say amen. I don't want to talk about the devil, but I tell you this, there's going to be some times, guess what? There's going to be a battle you face daily with the demonic powers of Satan. That's a constant reminder of what you don't want in your life. Let me say this. That's a struggle, isn't it? If you be honest with you, that's a struggle. That's a fight, to be honest with you. If you'd be honest with yourself, it's a fight you don't want to have. But thank God, greater is He that's in us. Somebody say amen, the He that's in the world. Yeah, it's going to be a source of battle too. There's going to be a day that you get, there may be a day that you get up that, you know what, that, hey, Satan's constantly, he's beating you up about a situation in your life. He's beating you up about that anxiety. He's beating you up about that depression. He's beating you up about those things in your life that you don't want. But praise God, know this, guess what? God's not done yet. The source of the thorn, it was a source of burden. It was a source of battle. But I like this one. Thought about this, it was a source of blessing. So where do you get that? Now, how many of you would be honest with me tonight? When that thorn in your life or that burden in your life that you don't want, that Satan's beating you up with, and you're asking God to remove, and God ain't seem like He ain't come through yet, how in the world can it be a blessing? But you notice what Paul says in that same verse. It's all tied right here together. He says this, there was given to me. Now, how many of you know ain't a nigh thing can happen to you and I unless it passes through the hand of Almighty God? How many of you in his hand tonight? Somebody say amen. So if it has to, glory to God. If it comes into your life, it has to pass through the mighty hand of God. And Paul knew this. He said, yeah, it may be a burden. It may be a battle. But praise God, if God allowed it to come, I just got to look at it as a blessing, knowing that God's not done yet on my behalf. How many of you tonight are more focused on it being a burden and a battle instead of realizing it's actually a blessing? Oh God, I wish I could get this. It's easy preaching, but it's hard living. Hard living. Hard living. Man, I wake up constantly and there's some things that I struggle with that I wish to God, Brother Herman, that God would take out of my life. I don't want to deal with it. And Satan constantly reminds me of my failures and seems like I can't get beyond what I want to get beyond. But I just had to get up and know that I'm in the sovereign hand of God. And if a God allowed it to come, praise God. If he let it come to pass, hallelujah to God. I'm going to trust in the process. Somebody say amen. And knowing that God is not done and I may not see the outcome yet, but praise God, he's got something greater and bigger and better in store. Somebody say amen. Thank God for that. I thought about that and how that it's a source of blessing. As terrible as it was, guess what? It was still a God. There have been a lot of disappointments in my life that I didn't want, but I want to tell you something. One of the greatest disappointments I ever had in being a Christian. I'm talking about being a saved Christian. I look back now and I thought it was the very thing that was going to destroy my life, that would make my life more difficult, that I wanted removed. And it was the very thing that brought me to a greater relationship with Him. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of you want Him? No, seriously. Sir, how many of you really want more of Him? What if God has to give you more of the thorn to get more of you, to get more of Him? Are you willing? Are you willing? I want to get to that place. I want to be that Christian don't ever have any problems. I want to be that Christian that never has any battles. I want to be that Christian that never has to carry. It seems like that I'm carrying a burden, but praise God. Can I tell you something tonight? We got a burden bearer in Jesus Christ. Casting all your care upon Him. Somebody say amen. That don't mean just some of it. That means every bit of it. Just cast it on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Amen. Have you accepted that the very thorn or burden in your life may just be a blessing from God to experience more of His power? Bless His name. The source of the thorn. Then not only the source of the thorn, I want you to notice number two, the scope of the thorn or the reasoning of the thorn, I guess you could say. I find this in verse 7 and verse 8. Notice what he says. He says twice in verse... Are y'all with me so far? Don't die on me yet. Somebody say amen. The scope, not only the source of the thorn, but the scope of the thorn. He says in verse number 7 and 8, 7, he says twice. He said, I want y'all to look at it. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So it came after, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure. Then lastly, he said on that last part of that verse, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Then he goes on in verse number 8 and he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. The scope of the thorn, or the reasoning that God allowed that thorn to come into Paul's life that he did not want. I thought about a few things. First thing I thought about was the fact that he brought it into Paul's life not to make him bitter, not to get him out of the ministry, not to make his life miserable, but he brought it to his life to keep his pride in check. You know why God allows those things that we don't like into our life? Keep us humble, to keep us leaning, to keep us from being prideful. How many of you know all of us sometimes get prideful in things, don't we? You say, how do you know that? Because all of us, when a problem arises, first thing we do is try to fix it. First thing we do, we don't go and pray. We don't go and spend time with God. We sit back and we try to reason every possibility that we have to be able to put it in our hands that we can deal with a situation, whether it be with people, whether it be some problem, whether it be in finances, whatever it may be. Hey, can I tell you something? All of us struggle in that area. But Paul said, this thorn was given to me lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, I've got something that in my life I can't take care of. I want it removed and I can't remove it. I'm trying to get this way from it. I can't get from it. I'm trying to beg God to remove it. But yet, he said, lest I should be exalted. And if it keeps me humble, keeps me leaning, then praise God, God knows best for me. Because Paul, if he wasn't careful, he could stick his chest out, raise his head up, and say, look at me. Boy, I hate to admit this. I've been that person before. And I have to keep myself in check sometimes because I've been that Pharisee. I've run that road. Brother Herman, I hate to even admit it. I got saved. God started changing my life. Be honest with you, I wasn't getting in my Bible like I was supposed to. I was just carrying my Bible. Because everybody's like, King James Bible. Carrying it like this right here. I'd carry it like this right here. I'd have it and I'd say, look at me, carrying the Bible. Can I do the gangster on you? Carrying the Bible, look, carrying the Bible, look, I got a tie on. Guess what? I ain't even got long hair. Hey, man. Are y'all with me? Seriously, I got caught up into that foolishness. Thought that was the way to get closer to God. You know what? God let me run that rabbit for a while. He let me rub shoulders with some elites. He let me get in that crowd that tore others down. He let me get to that crowd to have their... And I hate to admit it. I hope you don't think I'm that way now, because if you do, come to me, because I don't want to be that way. I'd rather you tell me and bust my bubble than me. Hey, why? Because I want God's hand on my life. I want God's touch on my life. I want God's presence in my life. I want to hear from heaven. And let me tell you this. The Bible said that He resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I want to be humble so I can get more grace. I want to be humble so I can get more God. And I was running that line. And you know what happened? God said, all right. Smoked me down and I was laying in a ditch with nobody to help. You know what happened to me? Religion walked around and said, that's your fault, bud. Religion says, I ain't getting close to that. That you might tarnish what I look like. And I got to a point to where I said, God, if you don't do something to get me out of this ditch, you just take me home. I ain't living like this. God gave me a word right in the middle of it. God raised me up. Hallelujah to God. It was God that raised me. I said it was God that raised me. It was God that raised me up. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a Sunday school teacher. It wasn't a mama. It wasn't a daddy. It wasn't an aunt. It wasn't an uncle. It was God came right into my despair. And thank God picked me up, even though He had to smack me down. I'm going to tell you something. Since then, God's been able to use me. And let me say this. God will be able to use you if, guess what? You'll realize that thorn in your life is in there to keep your pride in check. James 4:6, I quoted this a while ago, but the first part of that verse, it says, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. But the first part of that verse says, but he giveth more grace. How many of you need more grace? Then stay humble. Hey, the scope of the thorn is to keep our pride in check. Not only that, but it's to keep our prayer life in check. I thought about this. We see in that verse number 8 there, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times. We know that he talked to God and he prayed 3 times. He went to the Lord. And finally, at the end of it, the 3 times, we see that God answered his prayer. But here's what I thought about. The reason for that thorn to be in his life, or that thing that he wanted to be removed in his life, was brought into his life, was to basically keep his prayer life in check. I thought about this, Brother Jesse. I thought the times that I go to God in prayer over the thing that I don't want is a time I'm spending with God in prayer. Yep. And what if you say, well, what? I'm looking for God to remove that thing. I'm looking for God to take it away. What if God took it away, and guess what? You were taken away from His presence, because then you wouldn't even pray. I don't know about y'all tonight, but how many of you know that, praise God, staying humble and staying before the Lord, man, the only way we can get strength is to call out on Him. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Power in prayer. Why? Because there's a God behind it, thank God, that we meet with, that's able to get it right in the middle of our life and help us and encourage us and touch us. So Paul, you know what he did? He understood that the scope of that thorn was to help him in his prayer life. Amen. He besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him. I put this down, jotted this down. Unanswered prayer does not always mean the need is not met. How many of you feel like sometimes God's just not answering your prayer? Come on, y'all help me. Anybody? Unanswered prayer does not always mean that the need is not being met. God always answers the need, even though it seems He is not answering the prayer. I like that. In other words, He's going to answer the need for your life and my life, even though He may not answer the very prayer that we're asking. How many of you are glad that God didn't answer some prayers for your life? Because if God would have answered every prayer for my life, man, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be here tonight. I can tell you that. I'd probably be on a bar stool acting like a darn fool. Can I get a witness? I'm serious. I mean, if I'd have got everything I wanted, listen, this thing ain't about getting what you want. It's not about me getting what I want. Thank God it's about God getting what He wants out of our life. And it has to come through a thorn, then let it be, so that we keep calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. It says, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thought about this. When I surrendered to preach, back when I was probably, I guess when I first got saved, there was a gentleman by the name of T. Gross. Y'all know Brother Jason? Holly, yeah. Brother Jason Holly, his wife is actually kin to Brother T. And the area that I lived in, Brother T, he was from North Carolina, but he would come in the area of Northeast Georgia and he would preach. Man, a phenomenal preacher. Man, he loved the Lord, but man, he just had a touch on him, and I always enjoyed going and hearing him. We went to a little old church one night, and he began to preach, and I knew that night, man, God was tugging at my heart, and I knew it was supposed to be to surrender to preach that night, and I just didn't, and I pushed it off, pushed God off, but he preached that night and said, some young man tonight, I know God's calling some young man to preach the gospel. I knew it was me, and I wouldn't move, and nobody else moved, and man, I was convicted over it, and finally, a few years later, I surrendered to preach, but I knew that was supposed to be for me that night, and I didn't. But Brother T was a major influence in my life. I loved to hear him preach. Had a bunch of tapes, and I'd listen to him and all that kind of stuff. And he inspired me, especially in my infancy of my Christian life. And I remember that he got diagnosed with cancer. And, man, we began to pray for him. We really believed God was going to heal him. And he got to a place finally to where they finally shaved his head off and all that kind of stuff. And they finally gave him the news. They didn't know if there was anything else that they could do. Well, we went to Weaverville, North Carolina. It was a camp meeting that we used to go to, and he was preaching that camp meeting. And he preached his last camp meeting. One of the last times he preached was in that camp meeting. And I remember that night, man, he had a glow about him. It was just amazing. He had cancer. I'm talking about cancer just basically killing his body. And he got up, and he preached with the touch of God on his life. He preached with the testimony of God on his life. I'm telling you, he preached it like, man, that heaven was as real as heaven would be real. And I want to tell you something. You may not listen to a living man, but you'll listen to a dying man. Somebody say amen. And he began to preach that night. Man, God's touch was on his life. And I sit there and I watch heaven come down. I never forget what he said. Somebody asked him, said, T, do you believe God's going to heal you? He said, well, I'm believing God's going to heal me. He said, but I don't know what God's going to do. It's going to have to be His will, not mine. But he said, I know this. He said, if anything else, God gave me cancer. And boy, I loved what he said. He said, I don't like the cancer. He said, man, and he got to a place to where he couldn't even preach. He got to a place where he couldn't even get out of the house. And he struggled within himself. The whole family struggled. Brother Shelton, I'll never forget what he said in that camp meeting. He said, if God would have never gave me cancer, he said, all the people that have told me, he said, I never had anybody call me up much and said, I'm praying for you. He said, I never had people. He said, I got people all across the country that's praying for me. And God's using my life through this time. And he said, you know what? Something I may not want is what God is using for his honor and his glory. And if God has allowed it to come into my life to help others develop a prayer life, he said, praise be to God. Boy, that's a good outlook on it, ain't it? Can I remind you tonight that, praise God, that's the way it ought to be in our life. The scope of the thorn. It's given to keep our pride in check, but it's given also what? To develop a greater prayer life in our life. And if God wants to keep me leaning, I say glory to God. Amen? The scope of the thorn, the source of the thorn. Lastly, I'm done, the supply of the thorn. Now we see this in the latter, in verse number 9 through 10 there. It says, and he said unto me, talking about the Lord, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Boy, I like that. Paul's praying three times. He's praying. Now, I always preach this that God said no to him. That ain't what God said to him. God says it right here. I like it. He didn't say no to him. He didn't answer it like he wanted it answered, but he didn't say no to him. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Here's what he said to him. Right out of the gate, the Bible said, and he said unto me. How many of you glad even though you may be struggling with that thorn, God will still speak? Yeah. He said unto me personally, said unto me, he said, my. I got stuck on that my. That two little letter, my. Grace is sufficient. My. Strength is made perfect in weakness. My. How many of you glad we got a my God tonight? He said, my. He come out of the gate and he said, Paul, let me let you know something. You're thinking about how burdensome your thorn is. You're thinking about the battle that you're facing with your thorn. You need to be directed on who I am in your life, and I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. He redirected Paul's thoughts to a greater purpose of who God was. Amen. I like that. The supply of the thorn. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He goes on and says, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The supply for the thorn. First thing I notice is there's an unlimited supply of grace for our walk. We really don't believe God's grace is sufficient until we believe that we are insufficient. God is our grace is the favor and love of God in action. I like that. God's grace allowed Paul to accept this thorn as a fact of life. It was to be accepted as part of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for his life, according to Romans 12, 2, verse 2. Can I say this? God's got a greater purpose. He supplies unlimited grace for our walk. Bible says that his grace is sufficient for us. I wrote this down, and I like this. The more grief that Paul had, the more grace he had. And the more grace he had, guess what? The more God he had. I like that. The more grief he had, the more grace he had. And the more grace he had, the more God that he got to experience. How many of you want more God? It's going to take more grace. More grace, guess what? There's more God. But guess what? It may start out with more grief. And how many of you found him faithful to meet you right in your grief to supply the grace that you need? There's an unlimited supply of grace for our walk. There's an unlimited supply of strength for our weaknesses. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't care how weak you are, God's able to strengthen you where you're at. Doesn't matter the thorn in your life, his strength, praise God, will be made perfect in our weakness. Not only there's an unlimited supply of grace for our walk, an unlimited supply of strength for our weakness, but there's an unlimited supply of power, I like this, for our witness. So what do you mean by that? Look at what he said. He said, most gladly therefore, how many of you know previously he's begging God to take it away? Previously he's asking God to remove it from him. Now he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to accept the fact that his grace is sufficient. I'm going to accept the fact that his strength, amen, is going to be made perfect in my weakness. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to rejoice in the fact, he said, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'm going to glory. Let me ask you something. What greater testimony is being used by the Christian is that when you're facing a battle and you've got something in your life you don't like and you're begging God to remove it and you get to Molly Grubbs and you think life stinks and you think there's no resurrection and you think there's no life hereafter and it seems like you can't get up and live and you go on and it seems like you never smile and you never have joy and you never have peace. I don't know about you, but we can't win a lost world that way. It ain't gonna happen. They ain't gonna want what I got. The truth is, there's times I do want to live in the Molly Grubs. There's times that I'm not going to smile. There's times that I ain't going to have joy. There's times that I ain't going to have peace. But thank God, I'm glad that even though there's times I ain't going to have, there's more times that I do have what God can give me. The source of it, hallelujah to God, is the fact that we've got a God tonight that's able to meet the need. His grace is sufficient. But we got to be a testimony of the power of God. I'll tell you something. I don't know about y'all, but Brother Kenny's not here tonight. But if he was, he'd be sitting right there where that caution tape sat. He wouldn't care if that caution tape was there. He'd be sitting there. Brother Kenny's a blessing. Brother Kenny, I don't know how many verses he can quote you. Never heard him quote any verses. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if he could take his Bible and show you how to be saved. I don't know that, and I'm not downing him. I'm saying I don't know that he may be able to. If he was here tonight, he might could answer that question. I'd say probably he might struggle in that area more than I would. Are y'all with me? But I'm going to tell you what he is doing. He's letting the power of Christ rest on him. So that you and I can see there's a Jesus that is alive. And if that's what it takes, and I'm going to tell you, I know those days he don't smile. I know those days probably he's weeping. I know those days it's hard to get out of bed. I know those days probably he wished to God he didn't have what he had. And I guarantee Karen's all the time. She's crying for him. She's always just, I mean, seriously, she's burdened for him. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Kenny, if you're watching this, man, we love you. Amen. Because you're a blessing to us. Amen. Because why? Because listen, you come in with a smile on your face saying, I want to go to church, COVID or no COVID. Hey, because Jesus has done something in my life, I want to show up and be a testimony for the glory of God. That's what we ought to do. Rejoice, amen, in our infirmities. Power of Christ may rest on us. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to let the power of Christ rest on you and then glorify God in your infirmity? You need to tell yourself every single day you're a child of the King. If it helped yourself, and I've done this a time or two, I hate to even admit it. I've looked in the mirror and said, I am a child of the King. I am who God says I am. I'll be who God says I'm going to be. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. Even though I might look ugly to myself, I'm beautiful to Him. Are you with me? I'm going to tell you what it done to me. It helped me. But you know what we do? We just walk around, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know why God's being ugly to me. I don't know why God ain't being fair. I don't know why God this. I don't know why God that. I don't know why God. Why? It might be so that Jesus can be displayed in your life and mine. He don't need any heroes. He is the hero. He just got a bunch of zeros that need the hero. Amen. To glorify Him in our infirmities. Will you do that tonight? Amen. Will you do that? I'm done. Come on, Caitlin. I'm done. I told you I wasn't going to be long. I probably was. I don't even know what time it is. She gonna play a hymn of invitation. Not long ago, Brother Matt, I don't know why. Last couple years since I've been here, right out of the gate, he asked me to go on a skeet shoot. Every year they have a skeet shoot that's something the builders, home builders or something does. And they always take and sponsor it, his business and stuff. And he'll ask me to shoot. He knows I can't shoot skeet. Hey, brother. That's like, man, you know how to encourage a brother. But you know what? He's asked me 2 years in a row. He saw me shoot the first time, and I could have thrown my shell at it and hit it better than I shot my shotgun. So I think what it was, y'all got me that new shotgun, and you thought I'd do better. with that shotgun, and needless to say, that didn't work. But this past time we went, I saw something I'd never seen before. And we pulled up to the first little old station, and it might have been about the second station we went to. I can't remember now. I don't even know the guy's name. You probably know him, Matt. There was a guy that went to shoot skeet. He had one arm. One arm. He's walking around with a shotgun with one arm. I'm thinking, well, somebody's going to have to load his shells. I mean, seriously. I mean, they probably feel sorry for him because he's got one arm. And, you know, he might be able to hit a skeet or something. I don't know. But, man, I was like, man, I got to see this. I got to watch this. Dude, he got up in that thing. Pull! Boom! Bust that skeet all to pieces. Pull! Boom! One arm. And then I'm thinking, somebody's going to load the shells for him. No, he dropped that thing down and said, let's go to the next one. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Come to find out, he can do all kind of things. He can play ball. He can do all kind of things. You know why? Because he didn't. Listen, it ain't the fact that he's going to grow an arm back. Are you with me? There's something that he probably wished to God he probably had. But he did not let his limitation keep him from experiencing the blessing of what could be done through his life. All because he was limited. Are y'all with me? Do y'all realize we're limited a lot in the thorn that we have? Maybe the fact God's not going to remove it. But I can tell you this, his grace will be sufficient for you. And I want to challenge us tonight, along with myself. What's that area in your life that you've been trying and trying and trying maybe to hold on to, take control of? And the truth be known is you need just to turn it loose and let God be who God is in your life. Whatever that struggle is, whatever that area is, I don't know what it may be tonight, but she's going to begin to sing something here in just a minute. And while she sings, I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder, would you bring that thing to the Lord tonight and ask God this, say, Lord, if you don't remove it, I'm going to be okay. Even though I may have to battle it, even though it may be a burden, I'm going to trust that it's going to be a blessing for my life so that I know the end result is for your power to be displayed through me with it. I want your grace to be sufficient. You've already promised that it is. You've already said the strength is going to be made perfect in my weakness. We're all broken. We're all flawed. We all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. We all have areas. Why don't you bring it to the Lord tonight? What is that thorn in your flesh tonight? Maybe you're not struggling with anything tonight. Why don't you come and you know somebody who is? Why don't you come on their behalf and ask God to touch them and ask God to be what He needs to be in their life? Would you come tonight? Come on. Can't do this thing without God. You're not going to be able to make it without His power. You're not going to be able to make it without His grace. Why don't you come tonight? Come on. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee.
I can't remember a trial.
Maybe you want to come tonight. Maybe you've been through a trial. Maybe you've been through something that maybe you didn't expect and you didn't want, but the truth is that thing brought you closer to Jesus. You ought to come find yourself a place at the altar tonight and give Him thanksgiving and praise that He brought that into your life so that you could learn to walk with Him. How many of you would step out tonight? Maybe somebody come, find you a spot somewhere and say, thank you, God, that you brought that into my life so I could learn how to walk with you. Thank you that I could, Lord, I learned that I could depend on your grace and I could depend on your strength. Boy, looking back, there's been things that maybe I didn't want, but I sure am glad God knew that's what I needed. Would you come tonight?
He's always been faithful.
He's always been faithful
to me.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Thank God for that promise.
This is my anthem, and this is my song, the theme of the stories I've heard for so long, that God has been faithful.
Yes, He has. He's been faithful.
He will be again. His loving compassion in us know it. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me.
She's just going to play softly. Some are still praying. And if I could encourage you with anything tonight, it would simply be this. I think the biggest thing is the source of the thorn. As I preached that, and God showed me that, it's a battle. Yeah, it's a burden. But I would to God, God put in us that, you know what, it is a blessing. It brings us closer to Jesus, makes us more like Christ. Then praise be to God. Don't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Don't be ashamed of that very area that God's placed in your life. Maybe He's placed something in your life that you're struggling with. And don't let Satan beat you up to a point to make you think you're a third-rate Christian. You got a great big God tonight, and He loves you and He cares for you. He doesn't want you to get bitter. He wants to make you better. To make you better, you need to realize that thorn's it's a blessing. It's a blessing in your life. Thank God for that. Amen. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for Your mercy. We're thankful for Your grace. We thank You, Lord. We're thankful that, God, You've met every need that we've had. You've met a lot of needs, Lord, we didn't even expect. God, You've been faithful to us as a church family, as a body of believers. God, I pray through these next few weeks, Lord, I pray that, God, as we get back into a place to where we're trying to get to a normal fellowship, God, I pray Your power be so real to us. God, Your presence will be in this place like never before. God, I pray that You'll revive us to a place to know that at any moment, God, things could happen. Lord, we do. We take things for granted. Lord, we take things, Lord, for Lord, we didn't realize what we had. We didn't realize the importance of fellowship. We didn't realize the importance of being faithful to the house of God. But Lord, I sure am glad that You allowed this to come into our life, Lord. And man, You've done so many great things as far as a testimony, Lord. Just even seeing the day and how You saved somebody out of this COVID, Lord, that was just even sitting at the house. And Lord, how that, Lord, they searched for You, and God, they found You because You found them. And God, I just thank You, Lord, for how that, Lord, there's more blessings than they are the burden. There's more blessing than they are the battle. And God, I pray that we'll help. Lord, You'll help us to realize that every single day of our life. We love You. We give You honor. We give You praise. Lord, I pray for our Lord preacher, Pastor Robbie and Miss Michelle. Pray for their family. Pray through this difficult time, Lord, this difficult season. Lord, I know what it's like to lose a father, Lord, and I don't know what it's like to lose a mother, but Lord, I know that God, that day one day will come. Lord, if You don't take us out of here, but Lord, I pray, God, that You'll comfort them right now as only You can. God, I pray You'll meet their need. God, meet their family's need. I pray, Lord, I pray for her dad. Lord, I know that God, that he's real dependent on her, and I pray that You'll touch him. And Lord, allow this type of affliction, or allow this thing that's come, Lord, that You knew that You had planned, Lord, to draw him closer to You. Draw that family closer to You. And they'll see the power of Christ, Lord, like they've never seen before. Pray You'll anoint them. Pray You'll touch them. Pray You'll be good to them. And we'll give You all the praise and all the honor and glory, folks, in Jesus' name. And thank You for helping us tonight. Amen. And all